Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
As California's economy fully reopens, businesses are now dealing with a surge in shoplifting, leaving some retailers with no choice but to shut down their actual stores. Our Dan Simon has more on what has become a brazen string of crimes being committed in broad daylight. Watch this.
Shoplifters usually try to conceal their crimes.
Wow.
Not this one at a Walgreens in San Francisco. The thief grabbing items off the shelves and filling up a garbage bag, even as a security guard observes from feet away. Moments later, he bolts away from the store on a Lyft bike. The guard attempting to grab the bag, but the thief gets away with the large haul.
This liberal will be all about taking over and the government running all of your companies.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show.
That's a scary clip. I've never heard that.
That's Mad Max.
Didn't know that she ever said that.
Oh,
wow.
She's got greatest hits. Yeah. June 18th, 2021. Welcome to Friday. It is 1:08 p.m. here in the Heartland. It's a hot Heartland. And what's even hotter is this news coming out of Portland. But I played that clip because that was CNN. CNN's like, they have all these light bulbs popping on over their heads. I feel like they're like suddenly like getting an awakening over there. Talk about being woke. Like, huh, so when you don't prosecute crime in the inner cities, then people just go ahead and commit crimes? Huh. And then when everybody takes everything out of stores, which are only there, stores are only there if they can make a profit, some kind of profit off their goods and services, then the stores have to shut down? Huh. Well, is that racist? No, probably not. It's just called business. And, like, CNN is, like, running all these stories now like this is some big revelation. I mean, welcome to the party. Where were they last year during the summer of love rage?
I think CNN's revelation is that they helped elect Joe Biden and now have nothing to talk about and are having to well, I guess there's viral video of people stealing things that people are talking about. Maybe people will watch us now if we air those viral videos.
Okay, so before we get to Portland, follow up on what you just said, Ryan. Instead, this weekend, they're going to run Assault on Democracy. Their latest report, it's probably like the fifth one, on January 6th, people are going to stop watching this network.
The roots of Trump's insurrection, Assault on Democracy.
They're still calling an insurrection. There was no insurrection. I'm sorry. You can call January 6th a lot of horrible things, and I condemn political violence of all shapes, sizes, and colors, codes, and creeds, but that was not an insurrection. That was a bunch of idiots engaged in a rage mob. And I think the truth on that is going to come out eventually as to who all the characters were. Were there some people there that supported the president? Probably. Were there some instigators who probably hated Trump? I'll bet you they were there, too. They got the one guy. Remember the one guy? Uh, the uh,
I don't remember his name.
The BLM rioter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had him on CNN.
That guy's been arrested like 30 times, right? He's a Marxist. He was instigating at the... So stop calling this Trump's insurrection when the president had nothing to do with it, and the only person who got shot was Ashley Babbitt, and we still don't know who shot her. So anyway, I diverge. But that's what they're... No one... If they keep doing this... There's going to be no one watching this network. They're already down 70%
in the ratings. Ratings are pretty bad, yeah.
So anyway, segueing back to this revelation that there's crime in urban America, and you have more crime when you let people just commit it willy-nilly. Katie, big story that you texted me before I got down here about what's happened in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is, here you go, another real-world consequence of left-wing lunacy.
Portland cops quit riot team after officer charged with assault on a photographer. All 50 of the Portland Police Bureau's highly trained rapid response unit officers resigned this week after the recent indictment of Officer Corey Budworth for allegedly assaulting a photographer during an overnight riot last summer. Quote, this is from the Portland Police Association. Unfortunately, this decorated public servant has been caught in the crossfire of an agenda-driven city leaders in a politicized criminal justice system. They went on to say a Portland police statement said the resignations were effective Wednesday and was unclear what the implications would be for the law enforcement response to future protests in Oregon. So 50 people. 50 officers quit the unit, and this is the rapid response unit. It is insane.
This is just going to keep happening. And Tim, I think you talk about, like, there's a phrase you use, how money walks, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That this is going to happen over and over, and not just to Portland. It's going to happen to every major metropolis who continues to defund the police. The people who have money are, A, not going to invest in cities. We're already seeing that. But the people who have money are going to get out of cities. So you're just going to have this downward spiral of complete blight in every city, including St. Louis.
Including St. Louis.
And the problem is that I feel sorry for the people who are left behind.
I do too.
You really do. But the people who vote are voting for this. Like, they know that they're voting for this. And then I guess some of them leave. You can see it happening, how money walks. You can see it happening in the suburbs around even just this area. Why do you think the prices are so high for real estate right now? Because they're not high in the city. Mm. You can get whatever you want in the city right now, but you go out to the suburbs and things are like 30% more. Yeah. A house, you just experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just moved to the suburbs. It's happening everywhere across the country, and it's so sad. And these police officers are just going to move to the suburbs. Like, they're going to move somewhere where they're being supported.
And you know who's going to get hurt the worst? The poor.
Yes.
And the lower classes. Mm-hmm. Because the people that can afford, to your point, I'm not an economist, but I did stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. I was in the legislature for 8 years. I was a city councilman for 6 years. I've been involved in politics and public policy now for nearly 20 years. I have been a part of many different think tanks, and I've read many leather-bound books. But no, my point is, I've studied this issue, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that things—okay, here's a very simple statement. Environmental factors—and I'm not talking about the environment as in climate. I'm talking about things that happen in and around you. Environmental factors in and around you and the place and the area in which you live affect your desire to either stay there and invest more in it or to think about leaving, right? Things like, how nice is it? How pleasant is it? Is there crime? How much crime is there? Is there a little crime that you can put up with and the police are trying to do a good job to get it down? Or is it unbridled, out of control crime? How's the education system? How expensive is it, right? Otherwise, people are just pods in a matrix, right? And that's what I guess the left wants. They want us all to be hooked up to a machine and not have any. They don't want us to have any choices, right? Their only choice is on abortion, period, the end. They don't really want us to have real choices, but people do. People currently have choice. And choice is affected by what you incentivize or what you disincentivize. And right now, Ryan, and boy, people learned this over the last year and a half. I maybe don't have to work in a downtown office if my employer says I can just open up my computer at home or I can work from the beach. And I'm out of here. And so if the city of Portland wants to allow itself, which it has been, by their leadership, not the police, but the leadership, the goofy mayor out there and the governor of the state, if they want to allow that, then they're also going to be allowing people to make a choice to get the heck out. And they're going to, and they have been. And the poor people who can't move, who are stuck there, who are shackled to the left-wing lunatic plantation, don't have that choice. And the people, not even rich people, just middle-class people are going to be like, I'm out of here. Because everything's driven by the middle classes, right? Because there's so many of them for now. And so the middle-class people are going to go out to the suburbs, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to voluntarily choose to tax themselves to have police forces, and that's where all the police are going to go then. Mm-hmm. I've heard that in places like, a place I like to go a lot, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Alabama, mm-hmm. you know, nice little communities near the seashore and inland from there, that I have heard police chiefs down there interviewed. They say the stacks of applications on their desks are towering, and they're from Chicago and New York and L.A., all these police officers who are like, well, number one, the weather's nicer there. But on the other hand, they actually care about police, and they respect my profession.
You know what's amazing? I don't even know if you knew this. We talked to the chief of police of Gulf Shores, mm-hmm. you know, somewhat regularly.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. a listener of the show.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to be, here? He used to be something here in the Metro East, like chief of police of Collinsville or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he say that? Because I think I've heard him interviewed, probably on your show, on any show.
Yeah, well, we've talked to him a couple times, and he's moved to Gulf Shores because there was so much more support. Now, his situation is not quite the same because he was already in the suburbs, so there was something else going on there too. But yeah, like people in Gulf Shores, like he said, it's great, it's fantastic there. I think part of the reason that he left is not necessarily we're in a different situation here a little bit because if you go out west of St. Louis, you're moving into the Missouri suburbs where there's full support for police.
Yes.
If you move to the east, if you go into the Illinois suburbs, there's local support for police, mm-hmm. but there's no statewide support for police.
Right.
So I think he got caught in a little bit of that. And this was before COVID. This is before everything's blown up after June of 2020. But there are those factors in play. And that's, I think, one of the reasons he went down to Gulf Shores.
The Oregon version of me, fellow named Jeff, he is a radio guy out in Oregon, and he runs the Americans for Tax Reform Center-Right Coalition for Oregon, which I do here in Missouri for Grover Norquist. It's nothing more than a group of people who get together once a month and talk about what the heck's going on in politics and public policy in the state of Missouri. And we have grassroots activists, we have elected officials, we have think tank people, media people like me, former legislators, current legislators. Anyway, I was with Jeff last week in Idaho, and I said, so are we conflating this in the Midwest? Are we going, oh, those crazy lunatics? And he goes, no. He said, you probably aren't conflating it enough. He goes, it's bad. He lives south. He lives like an hour or so out of Portland.
Okay.
And he's like, there's no reason to go to Portland.
Well, think about
it. I said, that's sad.
Think about all of the images that we saw of small business owners having to, you know, protect their business with their guns that were lawful.
In the Chop Chaz?
Yeah, I mean, but that's Seattle. I think Chop Chaz is Seattle.
Oh, that's it. You're right.
But, I mean, we saw last summer, which is crazy to think that all of that happened last summer, people trying to protect themselves in Oregon with guns that they own, trying to protect their business from the riots and from people being able to break in. That is something that I never thought I would see, ever.
Yeah.
In my wildest dreams.
In America.
I never thought I would see that kind of
vigilantism.
And we did. Mm-hmm. So why would anyone want to take their business there? That's the question that we're asking right here in the city of St. Louis. Why are we, and it's so unfortunate because I love this city. I just came from the city.
And we were experiencing a renaissance, too.
Yes.
I mean, there was a lot happening in the last several years.
But why are we telling people to come to this great city that is St. Louis? Bring your business here. Bring your families here. We're trying to make it lively. We're trying to have people come and have it be a tourist city. It's hard to really validate that. It's hard to find reasons to bring people here because at every single waking moment, there is someone knocking on the door that is an official that's higher up, that are making decisions saying, defund the police. Get rid of the police in the city. Why would we have that?
Yeah, that's the wrong cure. You can't do that. Now, the thing I will agree sometimes with liberals on is the reason we have crime in the cities is because of educational systems and opportunity. Now, their solutions are different than mine, but Yeah, people who feel like they have no hope, they have no opportunity, they may, not always, they may turn to a life of crime. That's fine. So you provide people with more hope, more opportunity. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, from a very early age, you make sure you have a good education. Well, the city of St. Louis public schools do not provide a good education. So right there off the bat, you're promoting the endless circle of failure, right, from a very early age. So you got to fix that. Then you got to fix opportunity. And opportunity doesn't come just by big government becoming bigger and spending more money on programs, right? You need to have employers. You need to incentivize employers to come here. How do you do that? I'm sorry, this is where the left and I will diverge. You need to have lower taxes. You need to have worker freedom. You need to have the right to work, okay? And why do I say that? Not because I'm anti-union, but because I believe it's the best economic system. And I also live in the reality of Missouri being surrounded by 8 states, 7 of which are right-to-work states. The only reason St. Louis still exists in the way it does is because Illinois is also a closed union shop state. If Illinois was also a right-to-work state, St. Louis would have emptied out a long time ago. So we have two bad apples next to each other, one trying to be slightly less nasty than the other, right? And so you need to have that. You need to have lower regulations. And so that's how you do it. Now, while you're working on all those things, you still have to deal with the crime. So while you're working on those things, you don't defund the police and stop prosecuting crime while you're trying to address the root causes of crime. It's insanity. It doesn't make sense.
And we haven't even begun to see the ripple effects from what 2020 is going to reap in this country, across the country. We're just starting to see it with things like this thing in Portland, but it's going to be years and years of this kind of stuff.
And Portland and St. Louis and Chicago and L.A. and New York, they're all on the same path, and it's not a good one. Mm. And it's towards not a very bright, promising future. And all the people who can afford it are going to go out to the communities that want to afford and fund the police, and the cities are going to continue to decay until a light bulb goes on over their heads. Like Eric Adams, the Democrat black Brooklyn borough president in New York who's running for mayor, who's mantra and platform is fund the police. So in the minds of some liberals, the light bulb has gone on, and we need a brighter vision of that moving forward. So we'll continue our discussion on this and so much more here on the Annie Fry Show. 97.1 FM Talk. Oh, we got to talk election stuff ahead of Liz Harrington. Set some of that discussion up when we come back.
Okay. 97.1 FM.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The media will never admit. It's not a question of being wrong. They're corrupt. You know that. They're corrupt. They know. It's not like, oh, gee, you're wrong. They know that. You don't have to say that to them. Then when they do have to admit things like the most recent, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or the lab in Wuhan and all of the things I said, you get really they don't do anything. They don't apologize to the country.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. President. We'll talk to Liz Harrington, who is the brand new spokesperson for Team Trump, the Save America PAC. Liz Harrington, who was very involved with the president during his entire tenure, and still remains to be so. And I've talked to Liz before, and I think she's wonderful. And thank you, gang, for getting her for today. One of the things we'll talk to her about, Ryan, is something that we were told several months ago was verboten. We couldn't question anything with the elections. Well, whether we're questioning it or not, Ryan, they're questioning it out in some of these states. They're questioning it in Arizona. They're continuing to question it in Pennsylvania. They're questioning it in Georgia. And they're finding some very good things to question. And look, are we going to undo the election? No. At this point, unfortunately not. But we should prepare for the next one, because the next one is going to be here, folks, in, what, 15, 16 months? Yeah, let's see. It's, 16 months. 16 months until November 2022. Seems like a long time. Got a lot of pain and suffering to get to until then. But it will be here before we know it. And preparations for it have to begin now. I can tell you that my good friend, former Representative Kurt Barr, who's director of elections out in St. Charles County, he's always preparing for the next big election. Like, they're always, that's what they do. They don't just shut it down and turn the lights off in the office and say, we'll be back next November. I mean, they're always working on their computer systems and their data and their voter registration files and best practices. And he's talking to other county clerks around the country. I learn all these things. And we should be making sure. And a lot of states took action this spring. Missouri tried to, and we didn't get a bill across the finish line, that was one of the things that I was really upset about. No photo voter ID, even though the voters approved us to do so several years ago. We have to do the implementing legislation. Our liberal courts, why are they liberal? Well, because we've had Democratic governors in the state for a very long time. But for 4 years of Matt Blunt, and now we're on finally a second term. Mike Parson is like the first second term Republican governor since, Ashcroft? Kit Bond? We got to go way back. Mm. So, I'm having trouble because, let's see, before Matt Blunt in the early, mid-2000s, when I was there in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, blah, 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 Matt Blunt was there through the 2008 election. So before him, it was Mel Carnahan. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, it was Bob Holden. Mm-hmm. Before him, Mel Carnahan. So now we're going back 20 years or more. And so until we fix our courts, that could be a problem. But my point on all this is there's a lot of people still asking a lot of questions about the problems of election 2020. And yes, that's in the past, but you need to address these problems in the present so we don't have problems in the future.
Well, let me ask you a question about that really probably has no answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. good discussion to have. If they do find fraud, and we'll see what happens in Maricopa. Apparently, you have news on when that's going to be released that you can share here in a minute. Mm-hmm. But if they do, and they let's say that it triggers more audits, that we do one in Georgia, they find stuff there. They do one in Michigan or Wisconsin, they find stuff there. I understand there's no legal recourse. Like there's nothing in the Constitution that says, if you found fraud, here's what you do. But I just can't believe that if they do, and that's three states, right? One state wouldn't make a difference. Two states wouldn't make a difference. But three states would. That we'd all just say, doggone it, you got into that White House fraudulently. We'll get you next time. I just can't believe.
It's a shame. I hear what you're saying. But unfortunately, it's so disconnected and so decentralized that putting together an argument of each state in totality, and as time keeps passing, there comes a point under the law where it's like, it's called the doctrine of latches, where even it's like, it sucks, basically, yeah, in layman's terms. That's the legal, it's like, too bad, so sad. You found it too late. So we're not going to go back and change, we're not going to, send the U-Hauls into the White House tomorrow. But my point is, we shouldn't just drop this, because if there were major problems, enough that could be systemic, don't you love how the media and the left get to make conclusory statements every day that there is systemic racism in this country, and you have to accept that as gospel fact and truth, mm-hmm, without any supporting evidence. But we can't even ask the question, was there systemic voter fraud, without being called seditionists, insurrectionists, and traitors to the country?
Mm-hmm.
There's a good flip test for you, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, very good, mm-hmm, one. Yeah, let me give you a little update on Michigan.
Yeah, now, please.
I tweeted this.
I have
this,
not followed that much.
So there's not a lot. I mean, there's a attorney named Matthew DiPerno who's been really, really doing some sort of like forensic stuff on his own, and has been putting out results that are very shocking about how easy it is to get into machines and stuff like that. But Jocelyn Benson, I tweeted this last night, she's the Secretary of State of Michigan. She says, quote unquote, a forensic audit is not a thing. Pass it on. Well, Okay. So you're a Democrat, just like there's a Democrat Secretary of State in Maricopa and or Arizona. She hasn't been able to stop that. You have a Republican legislature. That tells me that Michigan, the pressure's on there too. That's been a state that has been very, very resistant. But if the Secretary of State is tweeting that out, that means that it's right on her heels. So I think that's news. And then you have some from Maricopa too, apparently.
So Maricopa County audit report is expected in August. This is on the Epoch Times. This is today. The final report for the 2020 election audit taking place in Arizona's largest county is not expected to be out until August, an official involved with the work says. Led by, what a great name for a company, led by Cyber Ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Nice.
Which was hired by the Arizona Senate. Auditors are working on evaluating ballots after finishing their battle recount, save less than 100 Braille ballots. So they're almost done. The ballot evaluation is supposed to wrap up by the end of June. The Senate will vacate the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, where the audit's taking place, by July 1. There's a few weeks of additional work after that, and then so on and so forth. Let's see. Here's a quote from the Arizona Senate's liaison for the audit. We've got the remainder of June to do what we're doing here at the Coliseum. Then there's a few weeks probably of work on checking the envelope signatures and looking at voter registration anomalies and this work that we want to do on the retabulation. So maybe that takes up some or most of July. And then the auditors are going to take to need a few several weeks. But doesn't that, Ryan, sound not at all like some kind of tinfoil hat conspiracy? That is very technical, tedious, electoral integrity type jargon. They're actually, this is not some conspiracy theory. They're actually doing a real live hand tabulation and audit because of problems. And isn't it amazing that Merrick Garland and CNN, which is the comms department for the Biden White House, and MSDNC and the rest of them, they're freaking out about this. Well, if there's nothing to see here, and if, as we've also discussed, the audit would just be proving them right,
right,
then why are they so freaked out and objecting to this? Why don't they just let it happen and go, aha, see, we told you clowns. Why'd you bother with all that? What a waste of taxpayer money. What a great campaign stance for them to run on next year in Arizona. If this is all such a big tinfoil hat conspiracy. This sounds like very technical type of stuff that Cyber Ninjas is doing. Let's see. Let's see if there's...
Yeah, as I understand it, they're auditing the machines and sort of the data side of it. And then the stuff we keep seeing on the floor of that Coliseum in Arizona has been more just the volunteers doing actual like counts where they sit in a circle of, I think, three people, and they each count about 50 ballots, and then they sort of list off what their count was audibly. And if anybody disagrees, they recount the batch. And so it's sort of like a very grassrootsy kind of way to do it, but that's the way they're doing it. And it's been very transparent, as we talked about. Like there's cameras on all the time. There's armed guards protecting the ballots when they're locked up in cages, when nobody's in the Coliseum. So it's been really transparent. If you followed it, see, that's the thing is if you haven't sought it out, nobody's giving you this information because everybody's kind of trying to brush it under the rug, including Republicans like Liz Cheney, for instance. She's kind of out of grace right now, but she's, you know, there are Republicans. The Board of Supervisors of Maricopa is predominantly Republican. They have tried to stop this at every turn, and it just makes you go, why? The audit's been very, very transparent. Participate in it, and it would be even more transparent, but they won't. They've been invited to, and they won't do it.
And I just finished the rest of the article. They're doing a full deep dive audit into everything. The machines, the ballots, they're checking everything. Full forensic analysis. And the reason they're doing that is because of the concerns that people raised and the affidavits that people signed and the complaints that were made. And this is not some tinfoil hat conspiracy that there may have been problems. They're investigating the problems, and they come up with a report. And the report is going to apparently be very big and very expansive. We'll have to comb through it and see what it says. And then whatever the report says, hopefully everybody, Democrat and Republican, should be willing to address the problems and solve them for the next electoral cycle. Florida obviously had these problems back in 2000 with hanging chads. And Florida, you didn't hardly a peep here out of Florida. They got the results in early. They were done. And nobody's complained about it. So there's ways to fix this. And the left never seems to want to address that issue, and that makes you wonder. Hey, we're back with Liz Harrington. We'll talk about these issues and more with her. Liz Harrington, the newly anointed spokesperson for the Save America PAC and President Donald J. Trump, when we return here at 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's Friday. It's June the 18th here at 97.1 FM Talk. And about to bring in one of my favorite people who I've gotten to speak with, I know, several times before. And I'm just pulling this up here so I get this right on her Twitter profile. Liz Harrington, at Real Liz USA, joining us now. Liz, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Tim Jones in today. I've got Ryan and Katie here as well. Thanks for joining us here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, Liz, so I believe this week, was it announced that you're the new spokesperson for the Save America PAC and for President Donald J. Trump? Is that right?
Yes, that's right. It's a real honor, really an incredibly important time for our country. And, you know, I couldn't be happier to be part of it and to help President Trump and be a voice for the tens of millions of Americans out there who still support him and who still really care about this country.
Hey, Liz, high level, my understanding is from everything I've read, and I'm on the Save America PAC email distribution list. I love it. I love getting the updates. That the PAC has the operation, the mission is going extremely well and has been very successful to date.
Oh, absolutely. And we just put out another endorsement, Kelly Chewbacca in Alaska. We want to get rid of rhinos like Lisa Murkowski. Mm-hmm. And Kelly's just incredible. President Trump just put out a statement a short time ago. And that's an example of what we're going to be doing because, look, we saw the problems on full display after November 3rd. You know, it's bipartisan. It's called the Uniparty. And we're going to hold them accountable. They've sold out America's interests. They sold out the country. And, you know, we're gonna hold them to account. So we're looking at so many great candidates. Kelly's one of them up there in Alaska. But there's so many more. And President Trump's endorsement goes a really long way. Anytime he gives an endorsement, they shoot right up to the top of the polls, even if it's a crowded primary. So he's using that power very wisely, and we're going to get some great candidates, and we really need them.
Liz, let's dig into what's happening in Georgia. Just before you joined us, we were kind of getting an update on Maricopa and the fact that we apparently are going to get results from that audit in August. But Georgia is having some significant problems. I mean, you know, we've been talking about problems for a long time, but now specifically, just the news is reporting that multiple tallies of identical tallies of votes were counted multiple times. And now Raffensperger, the Secretary of State there, is acknowledging some of these problems. Give us kind of an overview of what's going on.
This is incredible because, you know, what's happening in Maricopa, really, Georgia, we believe, is far worse, and Arizona's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, Maricopa is not a shining, sterling example of election integrity. But what we have here, these are actual documents in real time, not just on election day, but in the days following, those critical days where magically ballots kept appearing in the back door. I mean, this investigator documents this. I just put a thread on my Twitter account, at RealLizUSA, going through the statements from this investigation in real time. I mean, it is it is a bombshell. Not only did you mention the identical ballots, which John Solomon reported previously, but the second story shows that these ballots came in the back door with no chain of custody. I mean, they're supposed to come in secure black bins. And you have a count. They weren't even counting provisional ballots before when they received them. They counted them after. So you never had to have a full account. You know, in real language, what this means, they counted until they had enough ballots to declare Joe Biden the winner. And it's all out there. It's in real time. You can see this happening day after day. Oh, we found some more ballots. Oh, no chain of custody here either. Oh, more from drop boxes that just came in mail and bins. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the real scandal here as well is Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, knew all of this was happening in real time. And this is a state, keep in mind, in Fulton County, one county alone, 18,901 ballots from drop boxes still to this day have no documentation attached to them, meaning no proof that they were cast before Election Day on time, that they're from real voters, nothing. So he certified these fraudulent results. And he knew what he was doing. And now he's claiming, oh, we should audit. You know, we need to get to the bottom. He was getting real-time updates. And this is an absolute disgrace. That's why we need to keep the forensic audits coming. We need to show the truth about this election because President Trump won this in a landslide.
Liz Harrington on the phone with us. So what happens now, I guess, specifically in Georgia, these allegations are getting attention. They're finally getting some significant attention. What happens now? Does Raffensperger have to sort of say, okay, you know, is a forensic audit going to happen there?
Well, there is a court-ordered audit coming for Fulton County alone, but really the whole state should be looked at. What Kemp needs to do is call a special session, and they need to do a real full audit. Arizona is talking about expanding theirs to the entire state because, again, they're only looking at Maricopa County. We really need to do these audits everywhere to make sure people can have confidence in their votes because right now, you know, 51%, according to Rasmussen, have no confidence of this election. They think there was cheating. I mean, how can we have that in the United States of America? And so what happens next? There's a lawsuit that's really gaining momentum down there. There's been some subpoenas that have been delayed, but I'm confident we're going to get finally these poll workers under oath. We're going to get the truth. We already have this big piece of evidence that was obtained by Just the News through a Freedom of Information Act request. That's a big first step in getting the truth out there. But we need these people under oath. We need a full accounting of what happened. So that audit is going to continue. I think that's over 40,000 ballots that they suspected were counterfeit that they're going to look at. So that will be happening in the coming weeks. And I think there's a lot more to come out of Georgia. And then we go from there. You know, we just get the truth out there. So many Americans know that what happened was not right. They know it in down to their bones. And now the evidence is coming out to prove them correct.
Yeah, and it's bipartisan. We've talked about before how it's not just Republicans who are
30% of Democrats.
Yes, it really is. And so let me ask you this, just and maybe you're watching this like the rest of us, but you're watching it for the president, so you know maybe you have a little more info than we do. But where else do you think is really the pressure mounting? Is there another state that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, you know, I really want to commend the Patriots in Arizona because they've had so much pressure. They've been smeared. They've had so many of these crooked lawyers go in and try to stop them every step of the way. Now you've got Merrick Garland threatening to try to shut this down. Oh, they have nothing to worry about, right? Everything's on the up and up. And yet they really don't want people to go canvass and go door to door to see if any of these votes were legitimate or not. But from what happens here, I mean, Arizona really led the way here. And you've got other Patriots in other states who visited this audit, which was so transparent, on camera 24/7. I mean, they had so many volunteers doing checks every step of the way to make sure that this was absolutely secure and safe. And so we had 12 different states come. I think this is going to spread elsewhere. I mean, we're hearing Pennsylvania really wants to get to the bottom of what happened in Allegheny and Philadelphia counties. They want to audit Doug Mastriano, who's the state senator there. He said, to be fair, let's do a majority Republican county and a majority Democrat county. Let's look at this. And so I think you could be seeing a forensic audit there. This movement needs to continue. Michigan, Wisconsin, other states should do it as well, because they need to look at their system. Clearly, we had a full breakdown of the system. Unfortunately, it was by design in a lot of places, with corrupt secretaries of state, attorney generals that didn't intervene, didn't investigate fraud. I mean, we had so many problems, and every single state needs to get out in front on this, not only look at what happened in 2020, but also then reform their rules to make sure we get voter ID, make sure we're not using systems where we don't even have admin passwords access to, as that we've revealed in Maricopa County with these Dominion systems. I mean, these are big scandals here, and every single state needs to make sure that they have election integrity.
Liz, speaking to Liz Harrington, spokesperson for Donald J. Trump and the Save America PAC. Liz, I know there's a big rally, the first big MAGA rally next week in Ohio. Liz, it's we got about a minute and a half left or so, but how important is it now for the former president to highlight the true differences that we see before our very eyes between the America First and the America Last agenda?
It is so important. We're so excited to get back out there. We're going to be in Ohio on the 26th. We're going to be at the border, McAllen, Texas, on June 30th. I mean, the country is really on the line here. And, you know, that's why we're talking about November 3rd, because what happened there has let what's happening now occur. Mm-hmm. And what's happening now, we have no sovereignty on the border whatsoever. It's been given over to the cartels. Our energy independence destroyed by design, canceling the Keystone, but allowing Putin to get his Nord Stream 2, ceding our jobs and our votes to communist China. Our country is at stake, and President Trump knows it. We don't have time to wait till 2022. We have to get back out there. We have to show leadership. We know Joe Biden's not running anything. I mean, you saw him last week. It was an absolute embarrassment. Nobody trusts him to make a single decision.
Who
is running things? We need to show leadership. There's a void, and we need this country to stand strong and give voice to all these tens of millions of people out there. And our movement is growing, and it's going to be stronger than ever before.
Truly so. There's all the specific examples right there. Follow her on @TheRealLiz. Liz, thanks so much. Congratulations on the new position. We'll continue to track you. Love to have you back again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Liz Harrington there, new spokesperson for the Save America PAC and President Donald J. Trump. 2 o'clock hour, County Councilman Mark Harder up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.